Well, hey, welcome back to the LifePoint DriveCast. My name is Cale Boer. I'm the teaching pastor here at the Delaware campus. This past Sunday, we started a brand new series that we're going to be doing through the fall called Kingdom Citizen. And for the next few months, we're going to be working our way through the Sermon on the Mount, the content that Matthew records, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 of Jesus teaching from the mountainside to his disciples as the crowds kind of look on and listen in. And I'm excited for this series. Frankly, a little nervous, I guess, in a sense, or not nervous, but excited with the recognition that this is, I think, going to challenge a lot of us. We are heading into a season that is already very contentious. I was, you know, telling our folks on Sunday that this is a season where just a lot of things are going on. Obviously, it's election season, which of course is everyone's favorite season. And then also you've got racial tensions still so high across the nation. You've got a pandemic that's still going on, and that has created tons of anxiety and frustration. And there's just a lot of social issues pressing in, political issues pressing in. And I think for many folks, there's this question around, man, how do we engage in all of this? And that's a good and difficult question. And so one of the things that we're saying is, you know, we're not supposed to be ostriches in the sand, right? Not supposed to just say, well, let's just not deal with any of it. And also not to get so sucked into the problems that we forget our purpose, right? Why are we trying to solve these problems? We know that this world's not going to be perfect. And that doesn't mean we don't try to make it better, but it does mean that we remember our first identity is in Christ. We are kingdom citizens, and we're here for the sake of the kingdom. And we absolutely want to apply the gospel to the problems we see and work for solutions. But our primary job is to make disciples. And we just see the world's problems differently than the world does. We offer a different solution because we know the problem is really about sin at our hearts, in our hearts. And we are offering Christ, right? The one who has died to wash us clean of our sin. And so we started off with the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, what's called the Beatitudes, right? What does it mean to be blessed by God? And we just sort of drew the comparison between the world's values and the kingdom's values, and how the world usually talks about being blessed in terms of material prosperity and really present circumstances, good and pleasant circumstances. Whereas in the kingdom, being blessed, it's being satisfied in God, and it has more to do with hardship and trial and God's promises and his presence in the midst of that hardship and trial, and being joined to God by faith in Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be blessed in the New Testament, right? To have faith in Christ, to be joined to Christ, and experiencing God's presence and his promises in the midst of hardship and trial, not having just great circumstances. That's not what it means to be blessed in biblically speaking. And yet, I think so often in our culture, it's kind of how we approach it. And so I wanted to briefly just comment on the first of these, where Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, right? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And from what I've read, and I mean, it makes a whole lot of sense to me as far as what you see in the rest of the New Testament, this idea of God always has a special concern and has a special concern for the poor just in general. But I think this idea of being poor in spirit carries with it the idea of, you know, blessed to be you're satisfied in God and yours is the kingdom of heaven when you recognize just the poverty of your spiritual condition apart from Christ. When we think about what it means to be saved, we said this all through the Ephesians series, through the Alive series, that Jesus has to make you new, right? To be saved means Jesus has made you new, that you were once dead in your sins and your transgressions, and you're made alive in Christ. And dead people don't offer good things, right? Dead people don't bring something to the Lord. Salvation is completely the work of God. That's why it's called born again, right? That we have to be born again. And there's a lot of good conversation that happens around seeing ourselves as far as being valuable and that, right, you're uniquely made by God. But I think I hear even within Christian I definitely hear it in the greater cultural conversation, but I also hear it within the church, this sort of idea of like, hey, self-esteem, that means that you just need to see yourself as awesome. Don't let anyone ever tell you that you're not good. And there's a yes, but as far as what the scriptures teach, we have to recognize, man, you are absolutely made in the image of God, and therefore you have value, you have dignity just inherently because you're made in his image. But what's true of us is that we have fallen and we are sinful. And in and of us, there's nothing good, right? When someone came to Jesus and said, good teacher, he says, why do you call me good? There's no one good but God alone. Paul says, right, there's no one that's good. No, not one. All have turned away. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wonder of the gospel is not that God chose us and saved us because we're so great. It's that even as we were running away from him and rebelling against him and didn't have anything to offer him, he still came for us, that he loved us and showed us mercy. And that's the wonder of grace. And so we talk about, right, we've used the phrase sometimes that we have to recognize we are undeniably flawed and also unbelievably loved, right? That's part of our gospel identity. We are new creatures in Christ. And the wonder of grace is that we, and really I think what Jesus is saying, right, being poor in spirit, that theirs is the kingdom of heaven, that we have Christ and we are members of the kingdom, recognizing that, Lord, I am a sinner and I am in need of a savior. And it's not about my goodness or what I bring to the table. Yes, God gifts us each uniquely in the kingdom, gives us his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit distributes gifts for us to build up the kingdom and to edify one another, to push forward the kingdom, to honor the Lord. But there's a wonderful song by a group, musical group called City of Light. They have a song called Good and Gracious King. And some of the lyrics to that say this, and I think it captures what I'm trying to say. They say, I approach the throne of glory. Nothing in my hands I bring, but the promise of acceptance from a good and gracious King. You deserve the greater glory. Overcome with joy, I sing. By your love, I am accepted. You're a good and gracious King. Oh, what grace that you would see me as your child and as your friend, safe, secure in you forever. I pour out my praise again. You deserve the greater glory. Overcome, I lift my voice to the King in need of nothing. Empty-handed, I rejoice. And I think those lyrics just so wonderfully and beautifully capture this idea, right, of poverty of spirit, recognizing, right, Lord, I empty-handed, I come before you, and yet you have accepted me by your grace, and you created me, and you loved me even when I didn't love you. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I want to take a moment and pray for you this morning and then encourage you to just reflect on that and take some time to pray as well. Father, thank you that we come to you even empty-handed, Lord, and yet nothing but the promise of acceptance of a good and gracious King. Lord, help us not to look at ourselves with a haughty spirit or a prideful spirit. Help us not to look at ourselves thinking that we are good in and of ourselves, but to recognize, Lord, the poverty of our spiritual condition apart from Christ, so that we might celebrate, really, Lord, just the wonder of grace. Help us to recognize the seriousness of sin and the seriousness of our spiritual condition so that we can celebrate the good news and the wonder of your mercy in our lives. You are good and gracious King. Thank you, Father, for redeeming us and saving us and making us kingdom citizens. Help us to leverage our lives for your kingdom. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Take some time and just pray for yourself.